If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of the Acts, the very first chapter, and we're going to read the first 8 verses, finishing with the verse that the choir just sang. While you're turning, let me give you some background. The book of the Acts was written many years after the occurrence by the Apostle Luke. And he had written the Gospel of Luke concerning the ministry of Jesus while he was on the earth. And now he writes to the same fellow, a man by the name of Theophilus. He writes to him the book of the Acts, which is actually, it's called in your Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, but it would be better labeled the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Luke's first book was the Acts of Jesus. The second book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. This passage that we're reading in the first 8 verses is a discourse that Jesus had with his disciples just prior to the time that he ascended to heaven. These were the last words that he spoke upon earth. And he was making preparation for his disciples and preparation for the church. Beginning to read in the first verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is, after his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, undeniable evidences that he had been raised from the dead, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. During that time, he taught his disciples concerning the things about the kingdom of God. And he taught them concerning what the kingdom of God was like. That's important to understand this. Because for this period of time now, Jesus had been teaching his disciples about the kingdom. And being assembled together with them, that is, with his disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He said, don't you leave Jerusalem until this promise of God that I've been telling you about shall come. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is the promise. You're going to be baptized with the Spirit of God, not too many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now he'd been talking about the kingdom of God for days. They didn't understand what he was trying to get across to them, and they said, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to break the back of Roman slavery? And are you going to raise up the nation Israel once again to the place of importance and favor that it had been previously? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, or his own privilege, in other words, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. His disciples were concerned about the coming of the kingdom. And they said, is it time now that the kingdom is going to come and be restored once again to Israel? The people of God, are we going to rise to importance once again? Jesus said, you don't even understand what I'm talking about, but you're going to have kingdom power in a few days. This earthly kingdom is not what's important. What's important is that you have the power of the kingdom of God. And that will happen to you in just a few days when the Holy Ghost is poured out upon you. Now the word power that's translated here in the 8th verse is the Greek word dunamis. D-U-M-A-N-I-S. It is the word which we get our English word from dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, And it means literally filled with forceful power and ability. Jesus said, the kingdom, in essence, is already come, and you're going to receive the power of it in just a few days. In essence, the disciples were to receive the same power that Jesus had. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, the 3rd chapter, and I want to show you something from the life of Jesus. Ye shall receive power, he said, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses. There is no record given in the Scriptures that Jesus ever did any of the miraculous works of God prior to this experience, which is recorded in Luke's Gospel, the 3rd chapter. Jesus was 30 years old at this time, and he had yet to heal anybody. He had yet to cast out a devil. He had yet to preach the kingdom of God. He had yet to forgive sins. He had yet to raise anybody from the dead. And he's a grown man, born sinless, born perfect, without sin, born the Son of God in a unique way. But his work had not yet been done. John, this day, is baptizing in water at the River Jordan. And Jesus came in the 21st verse. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Jesus Christ on this day, Jesus the man, Jesus the Son of Almighty God, received into his being the power of the kingdom. After that the Holy Ghost had come upon him, his ministry began in earnest. He told his disciples, you'll have the same power I do. What kind of power is that? The 4th chapter of the book of Luke, and this may, we're not read it all this morning, but I want to take some verses from it and describe the kind of power that came upon Jesus when the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it's that same power that comes upon believers today when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. First of all, the power that Jesus had was the power to defeat Satan in his own temptation and in his own circumstances. The first few verses of the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, records that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Do you know the story how the devil tried him? Now he tried to get him to sin. He tried to get him to go against the will and the Word of God. But Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, used the Word of God as a sword and drove that devil off of him. And in the 13th verse, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And so the first thing that happened when Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost was he had, when he received kingdom power, he had the power to defeat the devil in his own personal life. The 14th verse gives us a second aspect of the ministry of Jesus after he was empowered. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Do you recall he said in Acts 1:8 that ye shall receive power to be witnesses unto me everywhere that you go? Jesus, when he received the power of God's Spirit in him, received the ability to do the will and the works of God. He received the ability to be a true witness to the kingdom which he represented. Now let's jump down to the 28th verse. The passage that intervenes shows Jesus in the synagogue. The scribes, the Pharisees, the priests in the synagogue had come against him because of some of the things that he'd said. They dragged him out of the synagogue and dragged him out to the edge of the city, and they were going to throw him headlong down over a hill. Verse number 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." The power of God's Spirit in us enables us to stand against persecution and gives us the ability to be delivered from danger. They wanted to kill him, but God was able to deliver him because of the power that was in him. And then the next few verses brings us to the next aspect of God's power in the Lord. "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to declare the word of God with effectiveness. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, the declaration of God's word doesn't have any unction on it. It has no anointing on it. It doesn't have the ability to set people free in the same degree that it does when it's declared under the unction of the Holy Ghost. They were amazed at Jesus because the word that he spoke was with authority and with power. And it's because of the kingdom power that was within him, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then in the next few verses, we see a situation in the synagogue where there was a man that was possessed of a devil. And Jesus in the 35th verse rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits." And they came out. Who do you know that's not filled with the Holy Ghost who casts out devils? The power to cast out devils is the power of God's Spirit in a man. And when Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God, he had the power to cast out devils. He had the authority and the ability to set men free. And they marveled when they saw it happen. And then we read down in the 38th verse that when you receive the power of God's Spirit, the ability to heal the sick becomes part of your experience. Verse 38. "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house." This is Peter. "And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." Listen, if you want to get your mother-in-law healed, you need the power of God's Spirit. You need kingdom power inside you, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Reading on in the 40th verse, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." When Jesus was filled with the power of God, he became a demon caster outer, a sick healer. He became a threat to the devil and to the kingdom of the devil. And everywhere he went, he declared the word of God with authority and with power, and signs followed his ministry after the Spirit of God had come upon him. And everywhere he went, in verse 43, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." The power of God's kingdom, listen, the power of the kingdom of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, the kingdom is without power. "For it is not by might, and it's not by men's power, but is by my Spirit, saith the Lord." The power that is in the kingdom of God is the power of God's Spirit. If you want to live and walk and move in the kingdom of God and have the power of God operable in your life to do the things that Jesus did, you must have the indwelling presence of the power, the Holy Spirit of God. Apart from that power, there is no ability to do any of these things that we have been describing. And Jesus said, "This is what I want for you. This is what I want for those of you who are my disciples. And he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem until they received it. Unfortunately, the church of Jesus Christ today is for the most part a powerless church. Did you know that? I said, did you know that? The church of Jesus Christ today is without power for the most part. I'm talking about the large percentage of good, sincere Christians who love God and who believe in God do not have the ability to do the things that are described here. Do not have the ability to resist the devil in their own personal life, and they go down the tubes in defeat. Do not have the capacity to walk in the power of the Spirit. Do not have the ability to stand against persecution and affliction. Do not have the capacity to be delivered from danger. Do not have the ability to speak the Word of God with authority and with effectiveness and see people's lives changed. Do not have the capacity to show forth a true witness as to the nature and the character of their God. Do not have the capacity, when they run up smack dab up against the devil, they melt instead of speaking of that thing in the name of Jesus and commanding it to depart. And when they encounter somebody who is sick, the only thing they can pray is, oh God, be merciful, and if it be thy will, please heal this poor brother. The church, unfortunately, for the most part, is without power. It was never intended to be that way. Jesus said, you'll receive power, church, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's happening today is our churches are trying to walk in the power of God before the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and it doesn't work. The word is after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, if you are a before in your present Christian experience, if you are a before rather than an after, that's why you don't have any power to live the Christian life. When you become an after, it doesn't mean your problems stop, but it means you'll have the ability to overcome them and to help others do the same. Now, today can be the day when you exchange your before and become an after. See? The Holy Ghost, when He comes upon you, then you shall receive power. Then you shall be able to do the things that I've said my church is to do. The power of the kingdom of God is in His Spirit. It's by His Spirit. And apart from the Spirit, there is no power. Now let me tell you this. I love deeply all people. I don't say that lightly. I do. I have thought about it. I have made a decision to love everybody. Some people are not easy to love. You might as well know that. But I have made a decision to love every person. Those who are Christians, I love especially. But I'm deeply distressed by those who are believers who have said, I don't want that Holy Spirit stuff. Now, if I were to run an electrical wire to your house, and your house had no electricity in it, and I were to run a power line to your house and want to hook it up to your house so that you'd have power in there to run your washing machine, your refrigerator, to run your air conditioner, to run your stove, and to run your toaster, and to run your clock, and to run your radio, and to run your television, and to put lights in that house, and I were to stand at your door and said, I've got a wire here, and if you'll let me plug this into your house, you'll come out of the darkness and you'll come into light. You won't have to sit there and sweat. Your air conditioner will cool you. You won't have to cook your toast over an open fire. You put it in a toaster and just punch the button and out it comes. Now that's power, man. That's power. I tell you, if you women have ever scrubbed clothes on a washboard and someone come along and plug in an automatic washing machine, that's power. Now that's exactly what we're talking about here today. Most of God's people, because they have said, no, I don't want that Holy Spirit stuff. No, I've seen a lot of that stuff. It's fanatic, it's emotional, it's this, that, the other. I'm not even sure that it's God. I won't have any of that. Well, if you refuse to let me plug my hotline into your house, then you're going to sit there and swelter. And you're going to continue to scrub your clothes on a washboard. And you're going to continue to eat your food over an open fire. And no reason for you to do it, because the guy that's living in the next door house is cool as a cucumber and is eating, you see, cooking on a nice range. has light in his house instead of darkness. Doesn't have to go to bed when the sun goes down. The only difference between him and you is he allowed me to plug my wire in. And that's exactly what God Almighty is saying to the church today. Won't you let me plug my wire into your life? Won't you let me flow my kingdom power into you? Won't you receive my Holy Spirit? Don't hold me at arm's length. So your preacher said it's not for today. Go hang your preacher. God's word said it is. So your mother-in-law won't speak to you anymore. Go hang your mother-in-law. Pray for her. You understand what I mean when I say go hang. It's a figure of speech. Nobody would want to hang a mother-in-law. Now, this is my mother-in-law back here. I certainly wouldn't want to hang her. You wouldn't want to hang yours either. Now, I love you, Mom. Do you understand the point? Is it any wonder that our churches are powerless when they have sent the power out of the church? They've said, I don't want you around here anymore. People come into that church that are filled with the power of God and want to share it with others. And they say, get out of here. We don't want you. Get out of here. You can't teach here. Get out of here. We don't want you fooling with our children. Get out of here. You can send your money if you want to, but we don't want you around. Is it any wonder that the church is dried up and shriveled up? It doesn't have any power. Jesus Christ said, by way of commandment, he said, don't you depart from Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and then you can be my church. Then you've got the power to do what I want you to do. I want you to wait right here until you get it. Don't you make a move until you do. This is what's wrong with our churches, don't you understand? Our churches are trying to do the work of God in the flesh, and they're filled with strife. They're filled with opinion. They're filled with tradition. Well, I don't agree, so I won't sit. So you've got one group that sits on this side of the church. You've got another group that sits on this side of the church, and they sneer at each other. We laugh, but it's tragic. It happens. You know it does. And some of you will come out of churches like that. That's not the power of God. People that are filled with the Holy Ghost love each other. They don't always agree, but they love each other. They care about each other. They pray for each other. They minister to each other. They heal one another sick. They believe God for each other. That's the power of God. Jesus said, I want you to be filled with my Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? I am amazed at how many opinions there are on this subject. There are as many opinions on this subject as there are denominations. The Word of Christ is so clear. He said, John baptized you with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit like? It's like the baptism in water, only the agent is different. When you get baptized in water, you get immersed completely in that water, don't you? When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus takes you and just dips you all the way down in the Holy Ghost. You've got in the water baptism, so you've got water coming everywhere. You got to hang it in your pockets. You got it in your ears. It's in your nose everywhere. When you get dipped in the Holy Spirit, you have Him everywhere too. You've got Him in your pockets, you've got Him in your ears, you've got Him in your nose. You've got Holy Spirit everywhere. Your hair's all wet with the Holy Ghost. Now you can't see that. You can't see that like you can water. And that's what makes it difficult for people to understand, because it's a baptism in the Spirit, not in a physical, material item. If you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, that means you're going to have to let Jesus take you and dip you all the way down in. You know what happens to a lot of people, though? They say, well, I'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to go all the way down in my hairs. I can't hardly do that anymore, see? But please don't get my hair wet. Please don't get my hair wet. Or can I hold my nose? Can I hold my nose? I get spirit up my nose that I can't handle it. Can't do it. Do you have any earplugs? Please don't put me down any lower than this, because if I get it in my ears, I just don't like it in my ears. And what people have done is they say, well, give me a little bit of the Holy Ghost, but please don't put me all the way down. Please don't put me all the way down. Oh, I don't want all of it. Just enough. Let me use God. See, instead of let me surrender to God, let me use Him. Jesus said, in the same way that John put you in the Jordan. Now, you remember that. How did John put you in the Jordan? He took you like that. down in the Jordan. You got water everywhere. You came up soaking wet. And everybody knew that you'd been in the Jordan River. You couldn't keep it a secret. Is that right? Because you were soaking wet. Your clothes and everything else. Well, when you got home, your wife knew that you'd been down, you'd been out there in the Jordan fooling around with that crazy John the Baptist. It's the same way when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Everybody's going to know it. You're not going to be able to keep it secret because it's going to be all over you. It's going to be all over you. And if you don't want anybody else to see it, then you needn't ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit because you won't receive it. Oh, John, don't put me all the way down in the water. He'd say, forget it. Do you know what John would have said? You know what John would have said? I don't think you'd want to hear it. You bunch of snakes and vipers. Maybe that's the way he talked. You think I'm strong. You think I speak sharply. You ought to hurt John the Baptist. So you ought to bring forth fruit to repentance. Act like you belong to the Lord. Well, how do you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? You get completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. Well, that doesn't sound true. I think I can do that. I'll go on and get immersed with the Lord. But how will I know if I really did? Because if I get in the water, you know, I can the water will just drip off me and I can feel it and I can see it. And there's a physical evidence that I've been soaked. But now if I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you said that it was a spiritual experience. Therefore, I could get baptized in the Holy Spirit and not know it. No. No. There are a lot of people think they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and haven't. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they said, because they felt such joy. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit because, oh, they just had so much more love. No. That's man's way of explaining the experience. Would you like to know what God's way is? Acts, book of Acts again. I'll tell you how you know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have an experience that is like they had in the Bible. Remember what I told you about anchoring what you believe in the Word of God? And do not believe what you can't justify by God's Word. Yes, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be so much like Jesus, you'll feel so much like Jesus, you'll have so much love and so much joy and all that in you, but that is not the evidence that you've been baptized. That is not the proof that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's see how it happened to them in the Bible. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. This is the first time it happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, according to this passage of Scripture, how will you know when you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How will you know it? You'll begin to speak in other tongues the same way they did. It says they were filled and they began to speak. They had the power and the capacity to do a miracle with their mouth. They spoke in a language that they had never heard before, that they did not know in their natural mind. Their mind was bypassed, and the Spirit of God that lived on the inside of them gave them words. That's what it means, utterance. The Spirit gave the utterance. The Spirit gave the words, and out their mouth came words that they did not know. And they knew that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter preached it, and he said, what you've seen is what Joel prophesied, that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Well, Brother Vic, that was just the first time it happened, and that's the only time God ever did it like that. Today, when he fills you with the Holy Spirit, that's when you get born again. I beg to differ with you. First of all, I want you to know that these men were already born again 50 days before this happened. The day of Pentecost was 50 days after the day that they were born again, and I want to prove it to you. Turn back in your Bibles two pages, or one page, if you have a large Bible, and look at John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. This is on Easter night. I've heard it said, so have you. Well, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's when you get born again. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It can happen at the same time. It very often did in the Bible. It happens today that way, very frequently. But in most cases, it's an experience that follows the new birth. John chapter 20 and verse number 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the new birth. Receive life that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll read Genesis 2:7 and Ezekiel 37 and 9, you will see that when God breathed on Adam, he became a living being. That when Ezekiel breathed on the dry bones, they came alive. When Jesus breathed on his disciples, they became alive also. And if you look down in the 28th verse with me, I'll show you something else that perhaps you hadn't seen before. Do you remember Thomas, the doubter? You remember he said, I will not believe unless I can see it with my own eyes. And Jesus came and said, here's my hand, and go on, put your finger in there, see where the nail print is. Go on in my body and stick your hand in there, and you can see where the opening is still there. Go on, it's me, Thomas. And in the 28th verse, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, how does a man get saved? He believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Is that right? And the second thing that happens is he does what? He confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, what happened to Thomas here? Thomas saw him with his eyes. He said, I believe. I know that you're raised from the dead. And he confessed, he says, my Lord and my God. And when he did so, he came gloriously into the kingdom of God. He's born again as clear as day. Can you see that? Can you see that? Now, 50 days later, he's with the disciples in Acts 2. And the Holy Spirit came into that place and filled them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And this group of men and women who were filled with God's Spirit began to turn the world upside down because they had received the power of God's kingdom. Now, if you're not absolutely sure that this is a one-time occurrence, then I would ask you just to turn with me in the book of Acts to the 8th chapter. If you know all of this, it won't hurt you to review it. If you don't know it, it'll change your life if you'll act on it. Acts chapter 8, verse number 5 tells us that Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto those people at Samaria. He did very many miracles. He healed the sick and he cast out devils down there. And when they saw that, they said, blessed God, the kingdom of God has come upon us. They believed in the name of Jesus Christ and they were saved. Verse number 12 says that they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Why did they believe Philip? Because they saw kingdom power in manifestation. They saw people healed. They saw devils cast out. They saw the manifestation of God in their midst. And they believed what Philip was preaching. And so Philip baptized them in the name of the Lord and they became believers. They became born again by trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. And then in the 14th and 15th and 16th and 17th verse, you'll find that when the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down to them. And when they came down, they were to pray for them so that they might receive the Holy Ghost. What would they be after that they received the Holy Ghost? Weren't these men born again? Weren't they baptized in water? Surely they're all right. But the apostles knew that they hadn't received the whole package yet, that they hadn't received the power yet. And so they sent Peter and Paul down there the same way Jesus said to his disciples, don't you leave Jerusalem until you get the power. These disciples said, okay, we know what that is. We've got a new church established at Samaria. Now, Peter and John, you go down there and see that they get the power. And when they went down there, they laid hands on them. For the Holy Ghost was not as yet come upon any of them, and they laid hands upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. A supplemental experience, a second experience, something that happened many days after they had been born again. And if you'll read the passage there, we'll not take time to read it today. If you'll read the passage, you'll see that there was a magician there who saw that the Holy Ghost was given by the laying on of hands. He didn't see the joy in their faces. He didn't see the peace in their life. He heard them speak with other tongues. He saw the miraculous power of God, and he wanted to buy it. You remember that story? If you look at the 9th chapter of the book of Acts and read with me the 17th verse, it describes the experience that the Apostle Paul had. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, Saul received Jesus Christ as his Lord on the road to Damascus. And now, as a Christian sitting in a house on a street called Straight, unable to see for 3 days, and Ananias came to him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Well, what happened when Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost? Doesn't tell us there, but if you'll read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 18th verse, you'll find Paul writing to the Corinthians and saying, "I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all." When Paul received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he spoke in other tongues. That's how he knew that he was baptized in the Spirit. And it's the same thing in Acts 10, the 44th and following verses, over at Cornelius' house. They had the same experience. And they spoke with tongues and magnified God, and it blew the minds of the Jewish Christians that day. And over in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul came to Ephesus, and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We never even heard about the Holy Spirit." And Paul said, "Well, under whose ministry then are you under?" He said, "Well, we're under John's ministry. We were baptized under repentance." And Paul said, "Well, there's a whole lot more." Praise God. He baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus, laid hands on them. There was about a dozen men there, and they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Now, God's intention, I want you to understand this. I'm giving you a lot of facts and stuff. I want you to be sure that what you believe is anchored in the Word of God. But this is the central thing I want you to understand. God did not birth a church into existence and then leave it without power. He birthed the church by faith in the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He indwelt that church with His own person, the Holy Spirit. And in the same way that Jesus began an effective ministry immediately upon His being filled with God's Spirit, the disciples in the book of Acts began immediately an effective ministry for God when they were baptized in the Spirit. And today, Christians begin immediately an effective, much more effective ministry for the Lord when they are baptized in God's Spirit and power. It is the power of God. It's the power of His kingdom. And He wants every Christian baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not just your husband or your wife or the preacher or the person sitting next to you. God wants every believer filled with His Spirit, empowered to do the same works that they did here. Now, there are only two reasons for you, if you're a Christian, to remain powerless. One is you're ignorant, and by ignorant I mean unlearned, that you don't understand what I'm saying to you, or you've not, up until now, you've not heard this word preached. And you don't have sufficient, what you feel is sufficient understanding for you to release your faith. Or two, that's one reason, God's Word says my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. And the second reason is you just purely don't believe it. There's absolutely no other reason for you to not be filled with God's Spirit and God's power. He wants us to be empowered. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you." Well, how can I do that? Very simply, it's a matter of believing God. It's a matter of believing the Word of God. Do you notice how it says all were filled? Not just a few. All were filled. Well, how do I go about doing that? Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter and the 13th verse, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, so much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." How do you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? You ask for it. You ask for it. And then you receive it. Well, how do I receive it? The same way you receive Jesus as your Savior, with your mouth. Didn't you confess Jesus Christ as Lord with your mouth? Isn't that how you got born again? You began to, bless God, I'm born again. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And you were changed on the inside, weren't you? You get baptized in the Holy Spirit the same way, but what you speak out of your mouth is the utterance that the words that God's Spirit gives on the inside. Now, let me give you a very simple explanation. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to receive the infilling of God's Spirit. We're going to do the same tonight. We're going to preach a little more about this subject tonight. But there may be somebody who's here this morning that is not sure they're going to be here tonight or not able to come tonight. And I don't want anybody to leave here without giving you an opportunity to be filled with God's Spirit and to receive kingdom power in your life. This perhaps will help you. It helped a great many people. When you speak English, you open your mouth and you speak out of your mind, don't you? You don't think all of your thoughts out ahead of time. By faith, you open your mouth and you begin to speak the common language that you're accustomed to speaking. And you have confidence and faith that your mind will feed the words to your mouth. And there's not any fear that somewhere along the line you'll go like and not have anything. You have faith in your mind, which God created to give your mouth words. And so by faith you open your mouth and you begin to speak. Receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is exactly the same principle, but it requires faith in God and faith in His Word. And this is how you receive. You ask God, according to the promise, to fill you with His Holy Spirit and thank Him for doing so. That's your faith. Then you open your mouth and you do like they did in Acts 2:4. They began to speak. See, the Holy Ghost doesn't have a mouth. Jesus said a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like you see me have. A spirit can't talk. Do you understand that? If there are any tongues to be spoken in, you're going to have to speak in them. The Holy Ghost can't speak in tongues. He can give you words to say, but you'll have to say them. And where the words come from here, they come from your spirit. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. John 7:38-39. When you ask God to fill you with His Spirit, He does right then. You may feel something. You may feel just gushy all over. You may feel just wonderfully peaceful all over. You may feel absolutely nothing. I didn't feel anything. But I got just as baptized in the Spirit as any of you did. Steve, I've asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then you do as they do. You begin to speak. You open your mouth believing that the Holy Spirit will give you the words, and you open your mouth and you shanto yer koriantimon of Ashikia, ye kotimonto vieramorjandan gretimongatina. See, you and I are in control of our own tongue. And it's foolish for you to do as I did and say, okay, Lord, go ahead. Now, I wouldn't do that in public, but that's what I used to do in private. For 9 months I went like that. Go ahead, here's my tongue, Lord. And I expected Him to take it and move it somehow and cause me to speak in tongues. He doesn't do that. I have to speak in tongues. And you are totally in control. See, it's your tongue. And so you open your mouth and you begin to, you can speak English or you can speak in the language that God gives you. At will. See? And whenever you want to, you can. When you want to stop, you can stop. Same way you do English. But the words come up out of here. For some who receive, it's a very wonderful and emotional experience. But I have found for a great many who have received, most of the emotion is fear that precedes it. And that the actual experience is not terribly emotional. And then afterwards, of course, comes great joy and great rejoicing. And sometimes the Lord, see, the Lord's no dummy. And one of the things that God will do is He will give you an experience, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, without emotion, so that you will forever know that it wasn't something that you got psyched into. I've seen Him do that. I've seen Him do time after time after time. And so He deals with everybody individually. And some people just go all, whoo, And, you know, and on they go. But it's just as effective, it's just as much God. Each one individually who are here today, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be, or if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are not free in your prayer language, you're not free to, in the Spirit to speak in tongues, to praise God and to talk to God and to pray unto Him in the Spirit, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, I want you just to ask the Lord here now about your circumstance. I want you to tell Him what your heart is. I want you to tell Him what it is that you want, what you want to do, and what you want Him to do. Just talk to Him the same way you'd talk to me or anybody else. He loves you. He wants to bless you.